Om Parthaya Pratibhutina Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Yasena Kratitam Puranamina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaita Mitavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusantatami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini. Number 17, chapter 3, verse 17. Yes, Twatma Ratire Vasyat. Yes, Twatma Ratire Vasyat. Atma Triptas Jamanavaha. Atma Triptas Jamanavaha. Atmanye Vachasan Tushtaha. Atmanye Vasasan Tushtaha. Tasya Karyam Navidyate. Tasya Karyam Navidyate. Yaha. Two. Atmaratihi eva syat. Atmatriptaha cha manavaha. Atmani eva cha santushtaha tasya karyam navidyate. The last several verses, Krishna's been talking about the importance of ritual and of karma and karma yoga, and how for one who understands yajna, or that all karmas are really done for the sake of Ishvara, that's yajna, karma being done for the sake of Ishvara, that's really necessary. It's a necessary acknowledgement of the order of creation. That acknowledgement of Ishvara is your part in this order of creation. And we saw with this verse, the preceding verse, evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati ihayaha. He says, the one who doesn't follow this chakra, who doesn't participate, he doesn't follow this chakra, this order of creation that he's just been unfolding. The order of the chakra, that cyclical creation that goes forward in this manner. That person, agayuhu indriyaramaha mogam parta sajivati. That person's life is meaningless. That person is living, in a sense, a life. Agayuhu means a life of sin. Life of sin means where the orientation to life is something that won't bring any happiness to you. That's what we mean by papa. That particular way of being in the world will not result in happiness for you or for others. And it leads to just meaninglessness, because your activities, even if you're going after the fulfillment of your desires, if you do it without any gratitude to Ishvara, or any gratitude to the devatas, or if you're eating without a prayer, without responding to the Lord or the devatas with acknowledgement or with prayer, you're not in relationship. And that absence of relationship with God or with what is, or with the reality that is, makes your life useless. The word that he uses here is mogham. It means there's no meaning in it, you know, and it's hollow. Becomes hollow and empty, and it becomes a life which is agayuhu. A life that's agayuhu, you're just indriya ramaha, means you're reveling in your senses. I want this, and I want this to be happy, and I want this. So whatever your senses can give you, you're struggling to become happy through gratification of your sense organs. But that's not going to lead to any type of happiness. That's what the agayuhu means, a sinful life. But sin, it's a life of papa. You have to understand what it means. even if we use the word sin, it would be better to really define the word, what it means, a sin against God, a sin against the order, a sin against Ishwara. Means you're going against the order, it won't lead to happiness. It leads to pain. That's what that word means, even if we use it in English. If we define it properly, then you say, yeah, that's what it is. You know, it's something that doesn't bless me. You know, it doesn't really lead to any sense of well-being or happiness. So now the doubt will come after having spent several verses talking about the importance of karma and karma yoga and really doing your duties. You know, and those rituals that are prescribed, doing the rituals and the karmas that are prescribed for you. How important that is for a jiva, for an individual, a dharmi, or a mumukshu must do all of that. Then the doubt can come, well, if this is what the jiva, what a human being must do, then even a jnani should do that. Even a jnani should be doing all of these rituals and all of these duties. That's the doubt that comes up. So what then is enjoined upon the jnani, the jivanmukta, the one living liberated? Because actually, when a jivanmukta, one who has knowledge, takes sannyasa, at that time they give up all of those karmas. They no longer are bound by any of the duties or the karmas. But how do these two fit together? Why isn't the jivanmukta now being asked to perform these karmas, to participate, to be thankful, to participate in this creation? Why wouldn't the jivanmukta have to do that? So that's this doubt has to be dealt with now. He says, yaha tu, whereas. Tu is a word that is used to differentiate. It can be but, whereas. It's differentiating from the one that we've just been talking about, the mumukshu or the dharmi, the jiva. Who is the jiva? The karta bhokta. The jiva, when we talk about the jiva, the samsari, the karma yogi, all of these, who are they? Karta. Right? Their identity is with karta, the doer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That's where the ahankar is lodged, in the doer. Okay? It's the doer. The doer that has to do the duties. Is the jnani, who is the jnani? Atma. Where does the ahankara land for the atma, for the jnani? Is the jnani a karta? You can't be a karta, because your knowledge is that I'm not a karta. Right? The knowledge is that, so the knowledge is that I am a karta. I am not a karta. I am not a doer. I am not a bhokta. I am a limitless atma. Okay? So here, this is what he says. Whereas he who atmaratihi eva syat, atmatriptas jamanavaha, the person, manavaha, is manu, born of manu, means manava, human being. That person, yaha manavaha, who is atmaratihi alone, eva, atmarati. Reveling in the self alone. Rati means to revel in. Atma. Atma ratihi. That person who revels in the self alone, and then what? Atma triptascha, and is satisfied by the self. He revels in the self and is atma triptaha, satisfied. So reveling in and satisfied in the self. Atmani evacha santushtaha. Being and being one who is santushtaha, completely satisfied in the self, atmani evacha santushtaha, tasya karyam na vidyate. For that person, na karyam vidyate. There is nothing that has to be done. Karyam, the karya karmas, are the things that have to be done. So here, no karma. Karya karmam, those karmas that are enjoined, those karmas which are to be done, or those things which you need to do to gain moksha even. The karmas you need to gain moksha, what? Karma yoga. To gain antikarana shuddhi. You do karmas. You do all of your karmas with a particular attitude that we call karma yoga. In order to gain the antikarana shuddhi, that purity of mind, which then is allows you to gain this knowledge. But you need antikarana shuddhi. You need antikarana shuddhi. Why? So that when the pramana, the Vedanta pramana, the pramana of the Upanishad, or the pramana that being wielded by the Bhagavad Gita, this particular pramana, is being, means of knowledge is being wielded, your mind is able to see. Right? Your mind is able to have what we call that samadhanam. You know samadhanam? Upadati and samadhanam? Upadati means these two words. If we, just for a little bit of aside here, if we look at what makes the adhikari for this knowledge, right? Viveka, discrimination, vairagya, dispassion. Then the shamadhi shatka, the sixfold group, right? The sixfold group beginning with shama. Shama, dhamma, upadati, titiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. Shama, dhamma is the ability to let the mind, to let go of the mind, to not let the mind swallow you. To not act out. And if the mind is swallowing you, the mind is, has grabbed hold of you, to have some dhamma means that you're able to not act out. You're able to contain it. It's shama dhamma. But upadati is, say in this context, for a seeker, for a mumukshu, you're clear. You're not a mumukshu by day and a partier by night. You're a mumukshu, period. Right? Your path is clear. You've recognized the problem, and so that resolution of that problem is primary for you. We all do a lot of different things. But for a mumukshu, all of the things that we do are secondary to the mumukshutvam. Because the mumukshu, through the mumukshutvam, all else that you do becomes a sadhana. You try to do it well, you try to do it dharmically, you are engaged in it properly. But really, everything that you do becomes a sadhana for your moksha, for your liberation. That's upadati. Sometimes they call upadati sannyasa, right? But if you take the sannyasa, say you call it sannyasa and don't worry about wearing orange. What does sannyasa mean? For vividisha sannyasa. Vividisha sannyasa means you're single-pointed in your pursuit. That's upadati. We can use that word relatively also, where we're single-pointed in our pursuit. I want to become a doctor, and I don't just do it for 6 months and change my mind. I do it for the whole 10 years that it takes. That's upadati, single-pointedness. So a mumukshu has that upadati. When the upadati is there, then everything else falls into place around that, because I know exactly what I'm doing. So the upadati... Titiksha is just the ability to accommodate the opposites that the world throws at me. Again, that all is, these opposites are again mitigated by upadati, because, by my upadati, which is my mumukshutvam, because they also become sadhanas. The hot, cold, the sukha, dukkha are sadhanas for my antikarana shuddhi, because upadati. Shraddha means that for me my path is clear. That I'm this, what I'm studying, I have shraddha in that, what I'm studying, what I'm learning. And so it's not, I'm not wavering in that way. I have shraddha in what I'm learning. I have shraddha in the shastra, that I have shraddha in my teacher, and I want to learn. Shraddha means my mind recognizes by Ishwara Anugraha, some grace of God. That's what they say. What gives you Shraddha? Ishwara Anugraha. Shraddha in a proper teacher. That's grace of God. By some grace of God, I have Shraddha, not blind belief. Shraddha means my mind is open. I feel there's something to learn here, and my mind wants to learn it, and I'm open to learning it. That's what Shraddha is. It doesn't mean that I don't question. Does it mean that I just accept everything on blind belief? It means I want to know this. I want to know this. I want to know it. That's what it is. That's the shraddha. If you want to know something, then your mind is ready and it's open to learn. So with that shraddha, then there's that samadhanam. Samadhanam, the samadhanam is that the mind can hold still. It can concentrate on something. So these, that upadati and samadhanam here, are necessary components for shravana, right? Because if you or have a single-pointed resolve, what's going to get you to class? It will get you to class. There's too many other things to do that are equally important. You know? What gets you to class? When you're in class, or in pursuit of your study, are you able to listen, or is your body only here? Body alone is here. Mind is very busy in all kinds of other things. And so when we think of antakarana shuddhi, right, when you think of antakarana shuddhi, you have to think about it in terms of a mind that is available to gain this knowledge. Because we have all kinds of notions. What does purity of mind mean? You know, as though we were some exalted state, some exalted Mahatma guru who has this antakarana shuddhi that is far removed from me. It isn't far removed. Antakarana shuddhi means your mind is available to gain this teaching, that there's single-pointedness. And then the sukha, dukkha, the problems, the pratibandhikas, the obstructions and things that we work with, unconscious material, all of this kind of thing, those things all fall into place. But that certain amount of antakarana shuddhi has got to be there to even bring you to the teaching, to have your mind be available to the teaching. If the antakarana shuddhi is such that it brings you to the teaching and your mind is available for this teaching, then you're in perfect position. All is well. Then this whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is teaching Arjuna so thoroughly, what is karma yoga? That antakarana shuddhi is there enough to bring you to this teaching, to have your mind available for this teaching. Then whatever the mind needs in addition to the pramana is taken care of by karma yoga. That's the idea. That is why the Krishna, after teaching so many things to Arjuna, he tells him, now you go and do karma. As he's going to tell again in two verses. Now go do your karma. Do your karma. What does he mean? It's not doing karma. It's doing karma yoga. It's doing karma with a karma yoga attitude. That's what it is. You live your life doing the karya karmas. Doing the karya karmas. Karya karmas are the karmas that are enjoined upon you to do. You do those karmas with an attitude of karma yoga, as we'll see in a minute. You do those karmas with an attitude of karma yoga. It is the person who already has knowledge, who's atmaratihi. That person is a sankhya. Sankhya means that person is a sannyasi, not vivirsha, vidvat sannyasi. That person is a vidvat sannyasi. For that person revels, their mind revels in the self, is satisfied by the self. That person doesn't require anything else. There is no kartritvam. The kartritvam that is there is what we call a dagda bija. It's a burnt seed. It's not like the Jivan Mukta, the one who has knowledge. It's not that the body goes away or the sense organs go away or that the mind goes away or the ahankara goes away. All of those things are there as long as the prarabdha is there for the body to run its course. All of these things are there. Right? So the body runs its course from birth to death. Somewhere in the middle you become a Jivan Mukta. Prarabdha is not over. It runs its course. So everything is there. But while all of these things are going on, right, the eyes are seeing, the ears are hearing, the mind is thinking, the ahankar, the person is talking, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, my body is in this or that condition. What is the self? What is yourself in all of that? Is yourself this karyakarana sangata, this combination of body, mind, sense organs, this amalgamation, this conscious being that the ajnani takes yourself to be? Where's the ahankara there? Where is the self-identity for Jivan Mukta? The self-identity is only in your being. So where does the ahankara, if I were to ask you in your Jivan Mukta, who are you? You know, and we were in the proper setting for that, so you wouldn't look too strange. Who are you? Who are you? What is the internal recognition? Do you recognize yourself as a karta, bhokta, somebody who is doing and enjoying? Or is your self-identity the conscious being that is absolutely present and absolutely still, absolutely silent, and absolutely you, no matter what you're doing? Right? No matter what you're doing. See kind of the play on that? No matter what your mind is doing, no matter what your sense organs are doing, no matter what the ahankara say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Who are you in all of that? You are the one who is completely still, the me. The one who, by completely still, even I don't like those words, because if you say completely still, it makes me think of somebody who's becoming completely still. It's not that you're becoming completely still, it's that your being is totally stable and doesn't change or modify or move. Right? So that presence is so simple, never changing. No matter what your mind is doing or your sense organs are doing or what you're saying, I'm going to the store or I have to study tonight, whatever you happen to be saying, you are the still, constant, present being that is there amidst all of that activity. All of the activity of the mind, all of the activity of the emotions, all of the activity of the ahankara, none of that activity, ahankara is a dagda bija, burnt seed, all of that activity, none of it touches you or covers you or changes you in any way. You're absolutely present to the whole thing, but nothing's happening to you. So that is akarta. That is me. And I am akarta. And that me, what is the nature of me? Is it incomplete or full? Is it lacking in something? Do I want to make it better? No. I can't make it better. I can make my mind better. I can make my body better. I can make my sense organs better. But this me is not something that I can make better. It's not something that I can even imagine to change. I can't imagine to change its nature. You try. It's a good meditation. I can do that meditation for you sometime. Mm. Try to imagine to change the nature of your being. It can't be even fooled with that way. Those words won't work in reference to it. And so the wholeness of that being, that wholeness of that being, is what we call atmatushkaha. That, it's where that being, I am totally satisfied with that being. The mind, atmaratihi, it revels in that being. Because the wholeness, the stability of the being, the very fact that there's nothing, it is whole and complete in itself, and there's nothing that the mind can do to change it or get away from it. So what the mind will do is rejoice in that self. Sometimes it will rejoice. but sometimes, you know, it's just always there, and there's always a gratitude on the gratitude, or whatever kind of words you want to use. There's always a relief or a reveling in that self. You always are fine. This may not be fine. This may not be fine. The mind may not be fine, but you are always fine. Because you are always fine, even when the mind is not fine, for this reason or that reason. Mm. You are fine, and so the mind is fine because you are fine. So you have to experiment with this to know what these words mean. But when you say atma ratihi, for that person, it's not that atma's not reveling in the self. Atma is the self. What's reveling in the self? It's the mind. Is the mind ever away from the self? No. If the mind is sad, is it away from the self? No. Is the mind happy? Is it away from the self? No. Sad mind? Is it away from the self? No. So then what does the sad mind do if it's not away from the self? Hmm. It retreats to the self. It appreciates the self. It is held by the self. It's contained by the self. So the self becomes its locus. So that's the atmaratihi. Atmatushtaha is a feeling I am full and complete, I don't need anything else. Tushkaha means satisfaction. Right? I am satisfied with myself. And so Atmaratihi is more of a play, you know, rejoicing, happy with myself. Atmatushkaha is more, I don't need anything but myself. And so that person who's satisfied with the self, for that person, satisfied in the self, karyam, there is nothing to be done. Now, that's in two different ways. There's nothing to be done in terms of, I need this in order to be happy. There's no karya karma there. There's nothing to be achieved in the world anymore. It's been achieved. In terms of jnanam, in terms of gaining knowledge also, there's nothing to be achieved. There is absolutely nothing left to be done because I've already achieved what there is to be achieved. Through knowledge, I have to achieve myself. I've achieved myself. Through karma, I have to gain karma yoga so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi, so I can gain self-knowledge. I have self-knowledge. And my mind doesn't seek happiness or anything from the world. Right? So what does that mean? This body, mind, sense organs, I find myself in the world and I participate in the world as the prarabdha karma gives it to me. So whatever comes my way, there'll be verses that say exactly that. Whatever comes my way, yadrichya, by chance. You say by chance. It means whatever the universe brings, that's what I experience. Whether you know it or not, this is true. But the jnani accepts it as true. For you, anybody, for anybody, it's true. What comes my way, whatever comes my way, that is what I'm dealing with. But what if you see whatever comes your way as your prarabdha? Whatever is coming your way is the unfoldment of Ishvara. And it includes this body, mind, sense organs, and the whole situation you find yourself in. This is Ishvara, right here, right now. And so what is your act? What are you doing in this situation? You're doing what is to be done. What is a Jivan Mukta doing in this situation? Doing what is to be done. But there's no kartrut form. There's no sense this one who's doing what is to be done is what Ishvara is doing. Right? But there's no resistance to the Dharma. There's no resistance to what is there to be done. So there's no real use of free will. There's no real use of free will because you're not going against the Dharma of what is naturally there to be done. So you don't feel like you're going against the grain. Sometimes when they talk about the prarabdha karma, they talk about one example they use. Jnani, Ajnani. Say we say Ajnani. When, if you imagine yourself swimming downstream, how nice that is. You're swimming downstream, everything is going your way, you're making good headway, it's wonderful, you know. So you could say, all is well with me, life is unfolding in exactly the way that I want it as you're swimming downstream, you know. That kartratvam can be there saying, look at how fast I'm swimming, and, you know, I'm just able to make such headway, I'm doing a great job here. But then, you decide to turn around and go the other way. And all of a sudden, nothing's working out. And say, I'm really blowing it. You know? Well, I'm failing at this. In fact, I can't make any headway at all, no matter how hard I try. There's no luck is not with me. You know? I'm not lucky. Luck is not with me. Everything's going against me. You know? I'm doing a terrible job. What can I do? Let me try to go to the gym. And build up some more strength, you know, and then maybe I'll be strong enough, you know. That's what knocking our head against the wall, or even moving too far to the side. It's like you hit the edge and it throws you back into the middle. But when you're going in the flow of things, everything is fine. When you think about it, look at your situation. Your situation, one situation after another situation after another situation after another situation after another situation. What makes it fine and what makes it not fine? What makes you go upstream or what makes you go downstream with your situation? It has to do with your attitude. What if for the jnani, I see all of this just as an individual, as my prarabdha. I see it all as Ishvara, the whole thing. My body, my mind, my sense organs, and the where this body, mind, sense organs is located. This is all Ishvara. This is an individual. This is all my prarabdha. We're all included in it. We're all included in each other's prarabdha here. We are. Because we're together. Right? So it's a joy shared prarabdha, because we're all here together in this, in, you know. So in this particular prarabdha, of your individual prarabdha, you see each moment, some of the things are comfortable, some of the things are uncomfortable. But where is your mind? What does your mind want? Is your mind satisfied in yourself, or is your mind seeking to become satisfied by manipulating the situation so that it can be happy? See the difference? I mean, it's a huge difference. One is appreciating Ishvara and doing what is to be done in the situation. Not so that I can be happy. Not to make me whole. Not to make me complete. But I'm part of this prarabdha, and this is my duty in this particular situation. So that's what I do. It's very simple. It has nothing to do with my becoming whole or complete or full. I don't want to be any more full than what I am. But here I am in this situation, and so I do it. Or that's ajnani. An ajnani, just a dharmi. I want certain things from this situation so that I can be happy. And I try to do my best to do it dharmically, but I need these things. I need to accrue certain things and get rid of certain things so that I can be happy. That's a samsari, try to do it dharmically. Then there's the mumukshu. Right? The mumukshu, the karma yogi, is the karma yogi. The mumukshu is the one who is studying, gaining knowledge, but the kartritvam, that doership, is still there. And so that for that person, that's where this karma yoga buddhi comes in. I do my duty. I do the karya karmas that are enjoined upon me. I still have the kartritvam. I do, because I haven't recognized myself completely yet. I have the kartritvam, the doership. So I do the karmas that are there to be done, right? For the sake of antakarana shuddhi. Not so that I can accomplish something, so not so I can become happy. Not anything to do with it, but so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi, so that I can gain knowledge. Not for pleasure or pain, so for antakarana shuddhi, that's why I do it. Then say there are some things that I want. There's the karya karmas, that those are my duties, I just do those. You know, for dharma, and so that I can gain the antakarana shuddhi, so that I can gain knowledge. What about the things that I want in life? I still have a desire for them. I do those also. Dharmically, with a prasada buddhi, that Ishvara arpana buddhi means I want this, I need this so that I can be happy, even though I know that's really not true still. I need it so that I can be happy. I may know it, but emotionally I need it to be happy. And so I go after that fully, dharmically, you know, but with the attitude of karma yoga attitude, where I accept the results of those actions and of my pursuit as prasad from Ishvara. And that is the karma yoga buddhi. So now Krishna sees in Arjuna, the kartritvam is still there for you. You're just now starting to learn, to gain this vision. So now you're not an atmaratihi yet. Not atmatushtaha, you don't know it. you haven't gained this knowledge to that degree yet. To be a jivan mukta, you know, to be a sannyasi by guna, sarvakarma sannyasi. That's a sannyasi who is a vidvat sannyasi, means taken sannyasa because they have knowledge. Vidvat means one who has knowledge, a sannyasi who has knowledge. For that person, that yourself is known to you. It's aparoksha, completely aparoksha. It's over. It's over and done. Because you know yourself. No matter what's going on in the world, yourself is very clear to you. Until that vidvat sannyasi, at least by guna is there, so sattva karma sannyasi. That's a vidvat sannyasi, the one who has renounced all karmas. The only way you can renounce all karmas is to know I am a karta, I am not a doer. So having renounced all that, that's the vidvat sannyasi. Or Krishna says, until you're a vidvat sannyasi, you should do karma yoga. Whether or not you're in the world as a householder, or engaged in the world having not taken sannyasa, or you're a vividisha sannyasi, one who's taken sannyasa in order to only pursue your studies. Either way, karma yoga. Until that vidvat sannyasa is there, until that knowledge is firm. And so here he's saying, the one who has knowledge, who is satisfied in the self, who revels in the self, for that person, there's nothing to be done. It's not no karma, no karma yoga, no teaching, not necessary. You can do karma, but the one who's a karta never does karma. So where's karma yoga or karma for one who is a karta? See what I mean? The karma yoga, that karma yoga Ishwara Prasad Dabhuti, that's very natural, but for a person who's a karta, where does karma yoga come in? Karma yoga is already accomplished, it's an accomplished fact. It's brought about the antikarana shuddhi. The antikarana shuddhi resolves into knowledge. What is the knowledge? Akaratoham. I am a karta. I'm not a doer. So where is karma for you? It's not there. There's nothing to be done. Do you need to gain knowledge now? No. You have. If you're a karta, you gain knowledge. Right? If you can say a karta, I am a karta, I've gained knowledge. Now, you don't have to go gain knowledge. So for you, there's nothing more to be done. So let's go to the next one. It continues on with this. He continues on with discussing who is this Jivamukta. Naiva tasya krite narutaha. Naiva tasya krite narutaha. Na krite neha kaschana. Na krite neha kaschana. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu. Kaschirartha vyapashrayaha. Kaschirartha vyapashrayaha. Again he tells, talking about the Jivamukta, the one who is the vivat sannyasi, the Sankhya. Na eva tasya kritena artaha na akritena iha kaschana. Na cha asya sarva bhuteshu kaschit arta vyapashriyaha. Naiva. Not indeed or never. Tasya, for him, for that Sankhya, for that sannyasi, sattva karma sannyasi. Kritena, artaha na akritena iha kaschanaha. For him, artaha kaschanaha naiva. There is nothing artha. Artha means purusharta. There's no prayojana. There's nothing to be accomplished. Kritena, by doing something. Akritena, or by not doing something. There's nothing to be gained. Naiva kaschana artha. Artha like purusharta, the things that I do, you know, that have purpose. There is no purpose. There's nothing to be gained by doing something, kritena, nor akritena, by not doing something. He says, nacha asya, and for him, sarva bhuteshu, all the beings, I'll tell you that means sarva bhuta, sarva bhuteshu, in all beings, in all things. Shankara says, when he says the sarva bhuteshu, He says, Brahmadi Stavranteshu. Brahmadi, beginning with Brahmaji, for all beings, and ending with something like a rock, Stavranta, immobile. So Buddha means beings, beginning with Brahmaji, the most exalted being in the creation, down to Stavra, just a little immobile thing. Okay? So Brahmadi Stavra Anta, Stavranteshu. Anta means ending with. Adi, beginning. Anta, ending. So, Brahmadi Stavra Anteshu. So, in all of these things, Kaschit Arta Vyapashriyaha. There is Vyapashriyaha. Na Vyapashriyaha means there's no dependence whatsoever for anything. There is no type of dependence whatsoever on anything, on any artha, on any object, or on any person. And beginning with Brahmaji means there is no dependence, no need for Brahmaji or any of the deities to give me anything. Nor is there any need for any of the Buddhas, concrete Buddhas. Like, I don't need any object in order to be happy. Nor do I need Brahmaji to bless me so that I can have the object to be happy. So I'm not dependent on the gods to give me, nor to give me Ananda, nor am I dependent on Buddhas, on just ordinary things, on things to give me on Ananda. So I'm not dependent, there's no dependence on me for things, for any type of thing, from any type of person. I'm not dependent on any type of thing, and I'm not dependent on any type of person or being, Brahmaji on up, for anything. For any artha. Artha means purushartha. Means I don't need anything from the creation, nor from Ishvara, to make me whole. I already am that. I already am Ishvara. I am already every devata. I am already every object. I am the very being of all that is. How can these beings give something to me when I already am them? See what I mean? It's not like, oh, I don't need you. I'm so great that I don't need you. It's that the being, this being that I am, is you. This body, mind, sense organs belongs to Ishvara, right? The ahankara belongs to Ishvara. My knowledge and ignorance, it all belongs to Ishvara. I am the self of all of that. I am the self of this body, mind, sense organs, ahankara, and of that is part of this creation. I am the self of this creation also. And so why would I and who would be dependent upon an object to make me whole when I'm the self of the object, or dependent upon a devata to make me whole when I'm the self of the devata? I'm the self of this being, the self of the space, and the self of the devata. I am the self of the order itself. And so where is there going to be a give and take here? And so that wholeness, that's what we say when we say Ananda. I was touching on this in the meditation day. When we say Ananda, I am Ananda. Sometimes this Ananda is inappropriately translated as bliss. It's not bliss. It's that I am whole and infinite. Ananda is really Ananta, the limitlessness. What is the limitlessness? When I say, okay, I am limitless, my being is limitless, what do I mean? I am completely whole. What do I mean? There is no place that I am not. There is nothing in any experience whatsoever that is away from me. So that's what we mean by limitless. Limitless. Like if you just, when we do a meditation sometimes, if you just, you know, just relax and you close your eyes, just to let yourself, give yourself over completely to the experience that is there. And then see, is there any part of this experience that is not you? That is separate from you? Is your being, is there any part of your experience that your being is not? And does any part of your experience touch your being? Your being is the most beautiful thing. Your being is the being of all things, and nothing touches your being. That's why you can kind of sit there and recognize that nothing, all of these sounds, all of these sensations, all of these thoughts and emotions are happening in my sphere, all the while nothing is happening to me. Right? None of these perceptions or experiences are in any way separate from me or away from me, but at the same time, there is no change in me. The me stays exactly as it is at all times. And so what happens for Jnani, this me, the self, the Atma, becomes more predominant. Not that it's never wasn't predominant before, but the focus of the mind, instead of being so busy on focused on names and forms, it starts to revel in the changelessness of your being that is present and not away from all of these names and forms. And so experiencing the sense organs now, experiencing these names and forms, are also not, none of them are away from the essential being of themselves, which is you, which is your being. And so experiencing all of these names and forms and all of these moods and emotions and this life, it's experiencing them at the same time, they're not away from you. So these are just words kind of circling around that. Now that, when that is the situation for you, then everything is Ishvara. There is nothing that isn't Ishvara. There is nothing about you that isn't Ishvara. And that being so, what dependence do you have on what? What do you call toward yourself that you need? Nothing, because you already are complete, and this body, mind, sense organs already belong to the whole. And so having, you know, kind of briefly explain this with a couple of verses to Arjuna, he says, and Arjuna, that's not your situation right now. He goes, in the commentary, Shankara has him say this. He says, I'll just read it to you. He says, na tvam vartase. And you're not like that. Na tvam.
Oh my God.
He says, tvam na vartase. That means just literally, tvam you, na vartase. You are not. Okay, that's what that says. You are not what? E tasmin samyak darshane. In this samyak darshane, in this clear vision, you're not abiding in this e tasmin, in this samyak darshana, in this clear vision. You're not abiding in this yet. In this clear vision, which is sarvata sampluta udakastaniye. In this clear vision, he says, which is like water which is flooded everywhere. It's this clear vision which is like a flood. He's referring back to a previous verse when he said, you know, a jivan mukta is somebody who is already complete. Just imagine, he uses an example. In India, you know, they always build wells. They build wells in the middle of rivers. So that in the summer, when the river has dried up, that's the best place for the well to be because all of the water has just sunk into the ground. And so in the summer, everybody treks to the well, gets the water and takes it back. But then in the winter when the rains have come, the river is rushing, right? The river is rushing. So somebody's not going to trek through the rushing river to try to find the well to get the water. It's just a non-issue. They take the water right from the rushing river. And so that's how we use this sampluta udaka. Means water that is flooded everywhere. For water that is flooded everywhere, you don't have to seek out the well. And so here, for water that is flooded everywhere, for the self which is everywhere, there's nowhere to go to seek it. or the ananda, the wholeness that Agnani seeks, for you, for the one who has samyak darshan of this clear vision, there is no place to go to seek this fullness. You're already there. Wherever you go, you're already there. So the wholeness, the ananda of yourself is absolutely flooded everywhere. There's no place that it is not. And so for you, for such a person, that person is atmaratihi. That person is atmatushtaha, reveling in the self, completely satisfied with the self. That person is not dependent on anything because it already is everything. And so for that person, nakaryam. There's no karya that has to be done. Nothing need be done. But for you, Arjuna, you're not there yet. So, yadaha evam. This being the case, he says, next verse. Tasmad asaktasapatam. Tasmad asaktasapatam. Karayam karma samachara. Karayam karma samachara. Asakto hyacharan karma. Asakto hyacharan karma. Paramapnoti purushaha. Paramapnoti purushaha. Tasmat asaktaha satatam karyam karma samachara. Asaktaha hi acharan karma param apnoti purushaha. He says, tasmat, therefore, asaktaha, being unattached. Asaktaha, past passive participle. Being one who is asaktaha, saktaha, attached. Asaktaha, unattached. Being unattached, satatam, always, karyam karma, the karmas which are karyam, those karmas which are to be done, those karmas which are enjoined upon you to do, the karmas which are your duties, the nitya karmas, the things that are enjoined upon you to do, samachara, you do those, perform those karmas. May, imperative, samachara, tvam samachara, may you perform, may you do those karmas which are enjoined upon you. Satatam, always do them, being asaktaha, unattached. Why? Asaktaha, as being unattached, that's the karma yoga. Asaktaha, because, the one who is asaktaha, asaktaha purushaha, the person who is asaktaha, acharan karma, who's doing karmas in this way, param apnoti, that person gains param, gains moksha. That person will gain moksha. Why? Because antakarana shuddhi, right? Doing the karmas in this way, that person gains the antakarana shuddhi that allows for jnana, for knowledge to take place. That knowledge, so that gains the param. It's the karma doesn't give you, the karma itself doesn't give you moksha. Why? Because you're already liberated. Right? If you weren't liberated, then karma could do something. Right? Maybe you could achieve it, you could purify something, you could do something. But the fact is, you already are the Atma. You already are Brahman. You already are that. So karma is not going to give that to you. Knowledge has to give that to you, because what can stop you from being what you already are? Only ignorance. Right? And so knowledge is what's going to remove the ignorance, nothing else. But to remove that ignorance, you need a mind that's available. And a mind that is withdrawing from these raga dveshas, these likes and dislikes. I need this to be happy, I need this to be happy. You know, the mind that's so entangled in the world. So use that karma yoga buddhi. Dharma, karma yoga buddhi. Right? The dharma with karma yoga buddhi. Dharma is the kaushalam. Right? When Krishna talked about karma yoga, there's two aspects. One is the prasada buddhi. You do everything as, and do you do your karma and take everything as all the phala, the fruits of your actions, as prasad from Ishwara. The other is kaushalam. Do your actions properly. Follow dharma. Understand what is appropriate behavior. That's the kaushalam. So the karma yoga has two aspects. One is kaushalam, one is prasada buddhi. So with this attitude, your mind will gain a natural shanti and a way of being. It will gain a way of being that is absolutely natural for jnani. Right? That karma yoga buddhi gives the mind a relative behavior that becomes absolute for a person, and what relative way of behaving that is absolutely natural for a jnani. Because for the jnani, all that's given up there is the kartritvam. The attitude's all the same. Right? Because for the look at it, it's just one step removed. For the mumukshu, for the karma yogi, the kartritvam hasn't been removed yet. But that karta, the doer, that one can still see myself as a doer, is totally in relationship to Ishvara. And sees Ishvara as the karma phaladatta. All of this is Ishvara, and all of the effects of my karmas are nothing but Ishvara. What happens for the jnani is that the karta is thrown in. Right? All of the karma and the karma phala, the fruits of my actions, are Ishvara, and the karta is also Ishvara. The whole thing is Ishvara. And I am, right, a karta. My being is a karta. So the jnani sees everything as Ishvara. The karma yogi sees everything as Ishvara with the kartritvam there, hanging on to the kartritvam. And so you see how close it is. You see how close it is and how much shanti is there. If you really have that karma yoga buddhi, because you're free to pursue your desires, free to do what needs to, the karmas that are enjoined on you, free to follow your desires, but you take everything as prasad from the Lord, which removes the tension. It removes the tension because everything is seen as part of Ishwar's order. Everything is prasadam. And so everything you receive is prasadam from the Lord. That gives tremendous shanti and relationship. Right? And then when one gains knowledge, that karma yoga buddhi just goes a level deeper. Because the karta is thrown into the karma yoga buddhi. See that? Mm. Karta and karma, both. Mm. And so it's just the fulfillment of that buddhi, but with both there's such shanti, and the one leads to the other because of the antakarna shuddhi. The mind then becomes so less entangled and available for this knowledge. So that's why he says, so now after talking about this, the atmaratihi, and the person who doesn't need anything, he says, therefore now, Arjuna, you do the karma. So Arjuna is probably thinking of, what? So we'll do this next week. And there's another verses. Come beautiful verse where he says, you know, Krishna says, you know, Janaka, who was a famous king, famous kshatriya, and some others, they did karma for their whole life as jnanis. And so then he starts giving some examples. So let's take a minute.
That was magnificent.
Purnamadah, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamadakshate,
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Hari
Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.